I am now.
What?
Ladies and... Oh, we're off to a fantastic start, aren't we?
We have all the coordination of two blindfolded men in a three-legged race.
Dibs on the one with the knife.
What does the other one get?
I don't know. But...
Okay.
Anyways, we're rolling now.
Welcome, folks, to Your Time Starts Now, a Taskmaster podcast. We're the two people who can't leave you alone, plus the one who does the jingles for us.
Hi, Spelvin.
Yeah, hi, Spelvin. We really appreciate you doing this for next to nothing.
I appreciate you in general.
Actually, let me correct that. Nothing at all. So, what's new in your life, Joe?
Absolutely nothing. I've been working a lot, as per usual, which is why... It's a little bit later in the day than Emerson would like, which is why we're going to try and make this a speedrun episode.
I mean, we'll do our best.
Listen, I barely wrote down anything for this damn episode. I mean,
the task descriptions this time around are quite wordy, so there's that.
Let me pull up taskmaster.info.
Let me pull up my notes. Yeah, I was watching some Would I Lie to You earlier today. It's just funny watching Bob Mortimer rattle off the names of all his friends.
Oh, yeah, I think I saw the clip from that new Bob Mortimer episode a couple of days ago. Because
Stabber, Bagger, Harryman, yeah. Steve, by the way. Steve, by the way, is such a great name.
It really is.
Oh, you know what we should have done when I met up with you?
No, actually, I don't. What?
We should have played Theft and Shrubbery.
Oh, that would have been so weird, but we could have. We could have absolutely done that.
Who would we have done it on,
no,
though?
No.
Because you are,
no,
like...
We would have gotten shot. We definitely shouldn't have, but we could have. People don't like other people in their garden.
We do beg your pardon, but we are in your garden!
You don't get to beg your pardon, you just get perforated.
Anyway, Taskmaster, Series 8. Episode 2, A Novel About Russian Gulags. Any thoughts, Joe? Overall thoughts on this episode?
It's, you know, not every episode has to be a banger out of the park. Not everyone has... This was solid. It wasn't exceptional, but it certainly wasn't trash. And, you know, it was...
Is that going to be a theme with a lot of this series?
I don't know. We haven't gotten that far into it.
Well,
I certainly, you know, I appreciate the aesthetic that they're going for with this season, because I did notice more of the Japanese flavoring, like the eyes and the windows of the Taskmaster house and the... at the beginning of the episode, when they show the opening titles and they show this Taskmaster stamp, was that in Japanese, like, kanji characters, or was that just a Japanese-esque font? That said TM. I couldn't.
It was a Japanese-esque font.
Okay.
And they were working with.
But I did notice that this time. And I do appreciate all that. I hadn't really paid attention to it, but this is the...
Yeah, the theming is very strong this series.
Yeah.
Next series, it's a bit higgledy-piggledy, but from series 10 onwards, the theming is extremely concrete with every series. Speaking of which, this episode will go live on Thursday, the 21st of September, which means Taskmaster Series 16 starts today. Woohoo!
Yeah.
We're exactly halfway. The series we're covering is exactly half the series that will be premiering.
Oh my god, so fucking many of them. Oh god. We'll be here.
It's like, you know the question, how old will you be when... How old will I be when you're half my age? That sort of question.
Oh, no, we're not bringing math into this, even as a conceptual, like, rhetorical.
Oh, no,
just keep going. No math.
No, please. I know exactly how to... It's simply when you are the age of the age gap between two people.
I know how it works. Just please, for the bit, let's keep going. The bit is Joe hates math.
Joe hates math.
Don't do math, kids.
Stay in school. Don't do math. That doesn't work.
Stay out of school. Never do math. Get into something more profitable, like drugs instead. Don't do them. Just sell them. No, sell drugs. Don't do them. There's a difference.
Do it to get money on the side. Okay, banter for this episode.
I didn't even pay. I actually fast-forwarded through it. I didn't even have time to listen to it.
Jesus. Joseph Zadar, I am surprised at you.
Oh,
you,
motherfucker. You usually... Motherfucker who listens to this at double speed does not get to throw stones about Joe having not enough time. I was listening to this at lunch at work today. I did not have time.
Greg says, hit me to Alex, but Alex won't because Alex has been going to the gym and he's been reading the instructions on the machines and is still going. These are starting to feel quite scripted.
They're always scripted. I mean,
the banter's always been scripted. Yeah, but I feel like watching something about watching Alex repeat his banter in Taskmaster USA sort of killed the magic for me.
I didn't even notice that. What I really appreciate is when they do the banter, every once in a while they'll do the banter and Alex intentionally says something that throws off Greg or says it with a different inflection. But ordinarily...
That's true, but...
But
just sort of recycled his own jokes for the... I mean, it's very on brand for Taskmaster USA to do that.
Yeah.
But it's... It was not the most ideal.
That was not even the best... That was not even the most egregious part of Taskmaster USA. Although, speaking of the USA, another bit of Taskmaster news that I just remembered, which is that for people in the U.S., Taskmaster Season 16 and every successive season after that will be available like the day after it airs in the UK on the Taskmaster YouTube channel.
Oh, yeah, that's true.
Because, and for a bunch of other regions, too. I don't know which ones specifically, but I think they've officially given up on trying to find a U.S. distributor and are just doing it themselves.
I mean, I don't know why they didn't properly do it. Taskmaster's done extremely well on YouTube. Especially in the States.
Well, now they're doing that. Now they're doing that. I think that means that every successive season before this has been successfully un-region locked.
Let's talk about the prize task. The prize task is the breast.
Well, hold on. We have to do the Hawaiian shirt. We have to do the Hawaiian shirt count.
Okay. Because
we didn't do that.
Spelvin, over here.
Hawaiian shirt count.
Okay, what's the Hawaiian shirt count, Joe?
This week, it's four of them. Ian, Lou, Sean, and Paul all have shirts that are either Hawaiian-esque or have some sort of otherwise bright vacation-y pattern on, or some other like repeating pattern on them. I would consider all of these in the vein of a floral or Hawaiian shirt, even if none of them actually have flowers on them. Paul's, the most obvious one is Ian, who's got like this green shirt with like human figures doing, I think, sports on them. Sean has this repeating pattern. They're kind of hard to describe. But they're all, like, in the vein of, like, a patterned shirt. A Hawaiian shirt's a vibe, not a description.
Passionate about his Hawaiian shirts. So, the prize task, as I alluded to, is the best pair of things, or as I've written in my notes, the breast pair of things. But we'll get to that in a second. Do you want to take this, Joe, or should I?
I did it last week, so maybe you should take it this time.
I'll do it. So, Sean... up first, has brought in a pair of Shirley Bassey's pop socks, which he found on the floor of Shirley Bassey's dressing room after a concert, although there is a lot of dispute as to whether they're actually Dame Shirley's pop socks.
And let's also not mince words, she did steal these from Shirley Bassey, essentially, if they were... Regardless if they were Shirley Bassey's or not, they were stolen.
It's not the first time... Someone's clothes have been stolen on the show.
Yes, that is true. I wonder when she stole them.
It was Mark Watson who...
Yeah.
Ed Gamble stole Greg's trousers before he was on the show.
Yeah, on Mark Watson's behalf.
Indeed. So it's a bit... There's a little bit of a tussle because they can't prove they're actually Dame Shirley's, but she did steal them, which is most important.
Yeah, they Greg does believe they're Shirley Bassey's, but they actually wrote to Shirley Bassey's like PR people, which must have been a hell of an email exchange, and it was not probable, although it's also not probable they were anyone else's. So do with that what you will.
Indeed. Joe Thomas is next, and he's brought in a pair of diamond earrings worth a jaw-dropping price of £2.21.
Mm-hmm.
I don't really have a lot to say. The description pretty much speaks for itself. It smashed into last place.
Yeah, it was a fun, you know, as Alex just systematically destroys the valuation of these with every single word he says. It was great. Love it.
Ian has brought in a song written and performed by the greatest double act of all time, which is...
I don't know who Dick and Dom are.
No, well, you're supposed to do the bit with Greg and Ian where Greg says Morecambe and Wise and then Ian says Dick and Dom.
Oh, I would have...
We're going to do this again. You ready?
Sure.
So Ian has brought in a song written and performed by the greatest double act of all time, which are...
The Chuckle Brothers.
Dick and... Okay, I'm just going to leave the whole thing in because this is quite funny. It's a shame because one of the Chuckle Brothers is sadly no longer with us.
Yep.
So,
Timmy.
But this is. Oh, don't say that. That's sad.
That is Ed Gamble's fucking joke. That is not my joke.
I know it is. But Dick and Dom have written and performed this song that I'm about to play right here.
You ran around and you did some tasks, and you did whatever Greg Davis asked. Ian Sterling called us to write this song, so congratulations from Dick and Dom. Oi, 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 oi.
What are your thoughts on the song, Joe?
You still haven't told me who they are. These are just two guys.
So they're sort of like, they're a British double act, of course. They were especially popular in the early 2000s when they had, the show Dick and Dom in the Bungalow. It wasn't something I watched. I was aware of their existence, but I never watched them.
So are these guys like Dollar Store Ant and Dec, basically?
Sort of. I would say that's more... I would have said that's more Stephen Mulhern, but then I realized that Stephen Mulhern is sort of like the Spelvin to our Ant and Dec, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
But yes, they're... They don't do a great deal anymore. Dom has this Instagram/TikTok where he does a bunch of DIY.
Okay.
I mean, if you're into DIY, it's a thing that exists. What did you think of the song?
It was certainly a song. I don't have any objections to it. It was fine. It was
the song of all time.
It was a song of all time. Yes, that is exactly the sort of...
So that'd be our episode title, because we couldn't really think of one last week, could we?
No, we really couldn't.
A song of all time is currently the pick to be the episode title. Lou has brought in a pair of slippers with breasts on them, and there's a radio attached to each slipper. I mean, they look more like cassette players to me.
Attached is a strong word.
That's true. They were sellotaped down. But
they're rubber
like
banded on.
Rubber band. Oh, same difference. But these look more like... Are we talking like radios or are these like...
I didn't
cassette
take,
players or walkie-talkies?
I didn't take a good look at them, but they look like a very... Let me see. They're like a very standard... El Cheapo, you know, this is the mono... It looks like a tape deck. It's a very standard El Cheapo Walkman knockoff with a Tenashin mechanism. You know, it's that they're shitty, but that's all you can... It's probably something she picked up from, like, a no-name dollar store or something, like Pound Store it would be in England.
Poundland is what it's called. Although not everything is...
Well, I assume that this would be too good. This would be too good for Poundland. This would probably be like something even less. But yeah, no, that's basically what it is.
Paul Sinha has brought in a picture of a pair of pandas, which his parents gave him as a housewarming gift, and the pandas are having fun.
His parents had no idea what was wrong with this video. Absolutely none.
This picture, you mean?
Yeah, with this picture.
Let's just say the pandas are having fun.
The pandas are fucking. The pandas are fucking. Let's not mince words about this.
I'm sorry. Reminds me of there's these weird cheese advert.
Advert? Hold on. That's where you're going with this?
Let me finish. So there's this series of North Africa, sort of very Southeastern Europe, that sort of area. Adverts for cheese that featured some man dressed as a panda. They sort of found their way to a bunch of compilations online, and that's how I know about them.
Okay.
From what I understand, the people in the advert talk about the cheese saying, oh, it's not good. And then the panda just shows up out of nowhere. The camera just cuts to it, and this weird Buddy Holly song plays in the background as the panda just stares at the people who said they don't like his cheese. And then he proceeds to cause a bunch of property damage.
I totally thought you were going to say the panda then fucks them or something. Because I could not understand where you were going with this. Also, you wanted this to be a short episode. We haven't gotten through the prize task in 20 minutes.
I go on tangents. And you know us. We'll breeze through the rest of the show.
I just want you to know how far along we are.
I've posted the a link to some of the commercials.
I am not watching this commercial right now. We will watch. I will watch. Oh God! I clicked on it. Why? This video contains content from UMG who has blocked it from display on this website or application. Yes, overzealous copyright laws saved me from having to watch this garbage.
The scores are Joe Thomas, of course, in last place with 1 point. Then it's Lou Saunders with 3. Ian and Paul are tied for second on 4 points each, and then Sean Gibson's rocks off at the top. Don't know why I said it like that. Is in first place on 5 points. Joe, do you have any objections?
No, I really didn't. Hold on, actually, wait. Yes, I do. I'm sorry, I wrote this down.
Shall I play the thing?
Sure. Yeah.
All right.
It's the Taskmaster, and his name is Joe, and he's gonna tell us what we should know. It's Taskmaster Joe.
So I'm gonna give Sean Paul and Ian all 4 points, and then I'm gonna give Lou 2 and Joe 1. Which is, I think, I just
almost the same.
Yeah, I just didn't enjoy some of the things. I thought the rubber banding of the radios to the slippers was not great. And then obviously the dumb earrings. But other than that, yeah, we're good. And then interestingly enough, before we continue on to the first task, this is the first prize task where we actually have a adapted version of it. Which was Season 7, Episode 2 of Kongen Befaller, which came out on February 2nd, 2023. So, a fairly recent adapted version, too. But,
now, would you like to take the first VT task, Joe?
Yes, I would. So, this is a mustache-based task, which is very strange. Just to start with, as a note, the wax seal that they always have closing the tasks is in the shape of a mustache, which is something that I don't think we've ever had previous to this season, the wax seal be used at being altered for a prop, which I thought was very interesting. But then again, we've also never had the lettering changed before. It's always been the TM logo in Veteran Typewriter, so it now being in a Japanese-esque font is very interesting. But anyways, the task brief is as follows. Put something on your face, which looks like a mustache from a long distance away. But when you get close up, you realize it is something completely different to what you thought. You have 10 minutes to plan your mustache and 10 further minutes to make your mustache. Most unexpected mustache wins. Your time starts now. So
also, Lou was thinking of putting pubes on her face, and she asked for them to not put that in the show, and they put it in anyway.
Yes, I did note what a couple people suggested, which was Joe also suggested that they use ants, that did not happen. Lou did suggest pubes.
Well, not to him.
What? He suggested
another contestant used something similar to ants.
Well, yeah, no, I know that. We haven't gotten that far yet. So there's really not a great way to describe this, because what happens, they sort of show everyone sort of like doing, like planning, and then they cut back to this, and then they have Greg in the studio look at a like telephoto shot of the contestants, like from a far distance. Then they zoom in, I assume with like a dolly zoom, because they bring the whole camera in, and it shows what they've got on their lip. And then, you know, he's basically like, I wasn't expecting that. And that's sort of what it is. And he also makes like a guess of what everything looks like. And because they're all like stupid, it's all like, you know, this looks like a cutout of a Vulcan bomber or K-9 from Doctor Who, that sort of thing. So I'm not really going to bother with that. But so we start with Lou and Ian. And just as another thing, everything looks like mustaches from a distance. Nobody managed to fuck that up. But as we zoom in, we get...
I'll talk about it in a second.
As we get it... Well, no, I understand what you're about to say, but it's... You know, it looks like mustaches from afar. Nobody messed that bit up. And then...
I was going to say something else. I was going to say Sean was thinking about putting a dead animal over her face, yes, like Sean, a Santa beard.
Sean wanted a mouse, and then was like a dead mouse, and then maybe a live mouse, and then actually, no mice. I did have that written down. I just forgot to say it. Anyways, so we start out with Lou and Ian, and Lou has on her face, this is very disgusting, she had fake flies, and I thought that they were also
real
fake
mealworms.
Thank you, Emerson. You cut me off mid-word. I was about to say, I thought they were real. I thought they were fake, but they turned out to be real mealworms, which is a disgusting amount of commitment to the bit. I wouldn't have done that. But this next one, then, we show one of the bigger things that is different between me and Greg is that Ian Serling had a cutout of a map which had the village of Liphook on it. And Liphook is a town is a large village in the East Hampshire district of Hampshire. And it is 4.1 miles west of Haslemere, bypassed by the A3. According to Wikipedia, I thought that it was really funny that he managed to find this, but like it was funny, but it wasn't like gonna matter anything because it's a cutout of a map. Greg actually got really cheesed off that this was what Ian did, and so he put him down further in the points because he thought it was like annoying. So that's like a difference between Greg and I. Then we have Joe Thomas, who had a bunch of different mustaches, but like as cutouts of mustaches. So you've got like famous mustaches from other celebrities that are that have like been glued into the shape of a mustache, which was very interesting.
Kind of clever.
It was kind of clever. I just watched it, and every celebrity on there just has fucking escaped me. But then we have
we've got to put 8 more episodes of this, ladies and gentlemen.
No, I just have forgotten the names because I'm just thinking about Tom Selleck's mustache from Magnum PI, and that's not what he had. But other than that, the only then we have Lou Sanders, who also did a hair-esque mustache, you know, but hers was with Barbie hair and wrapped around like pictures of Alex's face, which was very inventive. There was some sort of like squabbling over her using actual hair, but I think that a Barbie is like so far away from real hair that it's not like comparable.
Do they not use real human hair for Barbies?
No. Why would you do that? That's disgusting. Kids are going to eat this stuff.
Yeah, but people like shave their hair to make wigs.
For like kids with cancer, not for a toy. You don't use some.
But it's an environmentally friendly alternative.
It's disgusting. Here, hold on. Do Barbie dolls, Barbie and Ken dolls have never had human hair. They have always used synthetic fibers such as Saran, as opposed to. Why? I would never think that they would use that. That's kind of disgusting. But
okay. You've made your point. Can I just say, the many pictures of Alex that Sean used, have you seen that picture floating around of Ed Sheeran where it looks like he's standing in front of like a leafy ground, but it's just more pictures of Ed Sheeran's head?
No. Actually, I was going to stop you. Have you seen a picture of Ed Sheeran? No.
Let me try this again. Have you seen, there's a picture of Snoop, similar picture, there's a picture of Snoop Dogg floating around. Well, I say that. It's like this, they've taken Snoop Dogg's head and they've like changed the size and the color so that like, they've created this like island scene, but every single component is Snoop Dogg's face.
I have also not seen that.
I saw it everywhere. I saw it everywhere on Instagram, like,
Your circle of Instagram and my circle of Instagram are two separate circles separated by like a brick wall. And so there is probably no crossover.
If you insist.
I can picture barely what you're describing, but I have never seen it. I understand what you were trying to say though. So let's continue.
Paul is next.
Paul Sinha is the last one, and Paul Sinha actually managed to stump Greg, because Greg was like, because it's a very real looking mustache from a distance, nice and black and bushy, and then he zooms in and it's black lumps. If we want to drop a soundbite here, which we absolutely don't have to if you don't want to, Greg just goes, "It's just infection," which it is not.
Honestly. I might, because that was one of the few times in Taskmaster that I was genuinely just like, and on Two Times for Speed, it was particularly funny as well, because it's just like, what is it? It's just an infection.
It's just an infection.
I actually made like a quite an audible laugh at that moment.
It's very good, but it is not just an infection. It is actually fish eggs. This is caviar that has been glued to Paul's mouth. Which he did note was he is very dumb, because the caviar had been glued to his face, and so whenever it would fall off, it would get into his mouth, and he'd be like, "Oh, that's good caviar," and then he would eat it. So he was very ill for like 3 days afterwards. So it was not.
Yeah, that's.
It did not end. It did not end well for Paul Sinha. But
it did not.
So after that,
but he was in the lead after this.
Yeah, and he still is in the lead, because he gets 5 points, 4 points to Lou, 3 points to Joe, 2 to Ian, and then 1 to Sean. I did not.
Do you have any objections, Joe?
I didn't feel like scoring this one. It was it was kind of just a little... I did not feel like I was in the proper place to judge fake mustaches that look real from a distance, but also don't. So I'm fine with whatever. I think Paul probably did the best job anyways.
Okay. But,
And then we do have...
Okay.
We have adapted versions, which is from the Scandinavians, as usual. Basti Test Season 4, Episode 4, and then Stormester's Christmas Special 2020 had it with a Santa beard instead of a mustache.
Fair enough.
And then it was Episode 1 of the Christmas Special. I think they had two. No, they just had one. That was it. But yes, that was the Christmas Special. So,
okay.
Moving onwards to the next one. TikTok, it's Rice O'Clock.
We're not getting to the TikTok guy for another three series.
Mm-hmm.
Another very wordy one. VT Task 2, excuse me, get this rice into the bottle in the living room. You may only use the shopping basket and its contents to transport and deliver the rice. You may not touch the rice with anything other than the shopping basket and its contents. You may not take the bottle out of the living room. Remember that. Most grains in the bottle wins. You have 10 minutes. Your time starts now. Now, there was a particular motif with this task of the Orkney Islands. Alex, because there's 21,000 grains of rice, which was roughly the population of the Orkney Islands around the time this episode aired. Which was and Alex just used it as a point of comparison. Like, these people have got to try and save the people of the Orkney Islands.
Yeah.
And it was, it went a bit far, I think. I think it was a funny sort of, because Alex likes to make the sort of comparison.
The joke had unexpected legs, I will say that. It really just went.
Let's find out how Sean and Joe did. So, what Sean does is Sean panics, as she tends to do, and then she tries to siphon the rice and ends up putting the rice back into the jar of honey to transport to the bottle. And she just, like, dumps all of the honey-infused rice as much as possible into the thing, and it just goes everywhere. Like, she only manages to get 28% of the rice in. Joe Thomas, meanwhile, is very chill. He gets a mango. He cuts the mango in half so he can create a dish to transport the rice and ends up getting 18,000 grains, 85%, which is a good start.
Yeah.
So pretty unreasonable attempt so far. And then you've got Paul Sinha. So what Paul does, he first tries to blow up the balloon and then put the rice in the inflated balloon, but he finds it just sort of jumping out. And then he does a Frank Skinner and smashes the mango on the side of the table and then bites it to try and hollow it out a bit. And then everything starts to fall apart for Paul because he...
That implies that he had anything together.
He goes into the living room and gets the bottle and brings it in. And he says himself that there was nothing in the task saying you can't bring the bottle in. And then it flashbacks to him saying you can't bring the bottle in. And he's disqualified. And we get this fantastic line from Greg. I might actually soundbite it here.
It's a very rare treat on a television programme to see someone lose their job on a different television.
Yeah, that is a brilliant line from Greg. This is definitely a better episode than the last one. I feel like, could this have worked as a better... I mean, we've only seen two episodes so far, but would have this made a better series premiere, you think?
I don't think so. I don't think that there's anything here that's, like, inherently better than the other one. So, depends. I don't think there was anything specific.
Okay. Just two people left. So Ian and Lou both have the same idea of emptying the jar, the honey from the jar. But Lou's very much like me in that she hates food waste. So she puts the honey in a different container to transport the rice, whereas Ian just dumps it onto the floor.
Well, she washed out the honey container, didn't she, at the end?
Well, she disposed of the honey, and then she ridded the honey of its, like, excess, the honey jar of its excess, and then transported the rice. And Ian and Lou both transported 74% and 79% of the rice, respectively. And Alex says that Lou would have only saved the men and the women of the Orkney Islands, leaving the children behind. There was definitely a couple of other Orkney Island references in there, but I didn't pick them all up.
There were a lot, and it just kept on going. It was a fascinating, like, to see a running joke just sort of develop in front of you and, like, just not give a shit. Because it's like, why are they still going? Because also the other thing is that I, for at least 10 minutes of it, got it confused with the Shetland Islands, which is not the same island.
No, the shit.
And so in my head, I was making...
The Shetland Islands are in, like, Scotland.
Yeah.
And so are the Orkney Islands. But they're both archipelagos in Scotland.
Yeah, but they're not the Shetlands, which the only reason I was making jokes in my head about the BBC... Is it the BBC or is it ITV? The crime drama series Shetland, which I quite liked. And haven't been able to watch because BritBox is dumb.
Northernmost point in the UK is in the Shetlands.
Yeah, but it's definitely not the same islands I was thinking of, and I'm waffling here, so why don't you keep going, Emerson?
Okay, my notes. The scores for this are as follows. You could probably have worked it out. Joe, Lou, Ian, and Sean get 5, 4, 3, and 2 points respectively. Paul was going to get nothing, but because he was so gracious in defeat, Greg decided to give him one pity point.
Oh, I do have one more comment about this, which is that Lou gets called out for, like, trying to use the balloon. No, they mentioned that Lou used the jar and, like, cleaned it out, and she was like, "Oh, woman," like, to call them out for sexism, and they point to Sean. And she just goes, "A better woman." And it's that, you know, that's the energy this show has.
I mean, that bit sort of, like, I didn't quite understand it. And to be fair, even after you explained it, I still don't really get it.
That's fine.
Sometimes I can be pretty slow. But yeah, there are 4 VT tasks in this show.
Yes. I saw that and I was just groaning. So very quickly, there's adapted tasks before we go on to the next one. Transfer rice to a container in another room using the supplied objects. This is obviously the original version. And then we've got another Scandinavian pair, Bosti Test Season 4, Episode 2, and Stormester Christmas Special 2020 again. So, yay. Almost the exact same pairing as last time. So, and honestly, considering...
Do you want to cover VT Task 3, the first team task of the series?
Yes, I will. This one is... Boy, this is fun to explain. Oh boy. Tell your teammates what is in this chest. Your teammates must not see what is in the chest. After reading the task out, you may not speak again until the task is over. In the first minute, you may only use facial expressions. In the second minute, you may only make noises. In the third minute, you may only shout adjectives. From then on, you may only whisper verbs. Fastest correct communication wins. Your time starts now. So I'd like to point out that by the own internal logic of this task, they should have been disqualified the instant they got to the third minute, because shouting adjectives counts as speaking, but we're going to move beyond that, because that clearly was not the intent of Alex when he made this task. But
also, the teams, by the way, are Ian, Lou, and Paul, who in my notes I've written as Pal, and Joe and Sean.
I definitely was just about to get to that, because we have the best meeting yet of a pair of contestants when Joe and Sean, who have clearly never seen this show before and have no idea what is going on, are presented with each other in the room and are just the most confused people ever. This is like two confused people wander into this show and just start doing things. It was very dumb.
Also, Joe's reaction to Sean seeing the thing was, as Greg described, really funny.
Yeah. Just to clear everything up, what is in the chest is a compass. Like the standard north, south, east, west compass.
Also, Greg described Joe's reaction to Sean was like watching a human turn into a lizard.
Yeah, you look like...
He's just watching his eyebrows go up and down.
Mm-hmm. So we start with Lou, Paul, and Ian, who are by comparison much more competent looking. They eventually get it because they have tasked Paul Sinha with doing the actual communication. So, and we've also have Lou Sanders on this team. So Paul gets sort of distracted by the fact that a vacuum gauge has been hung decoratively on the wall, which to him looks like a compass. So he keeps trying to look at it while making the exact same facial expression. It does not clue in his teammates, who are mostly guessing intangible concepts and unobtainable things like the sunset and hope. That is all from Lou, and also of the Moon Cup, which is a product that women use when they are on their periods, according to Lou. So, yeah, totally what's in there. Then we go on to Joe and Sean, who, weirdly enough, are very... Oh, by the way, Paul eventually communicates effectively to them when it's when they get to the shouting adjectives. He shouts directional, and that immediately clues them in that it's a compass. Joe and Sean meanwhile get Sean's making noises and faces at Joe, and by the time she gets to making noises, she's moving her eyes in the cardinal directions of north, south, east, west, and that kind of clues Joe in that she's talking about a compass. So, which she's making the same noises that Paul was without opening her mouth, which Paul says is the universal noise for compass. So despite that, neither one of them having any idea why the other one is there or what they're supposed to be doing, they actually get to the answer quicker. So we end up with 2 points for Lou, Paul, and Ian, and 3 for Joe and Sean.
Indeed we do. So are there adapter tasks?
No, which should tell you a lot about how nonsense this task was. This, I would say,
There's one more VT.
This, I would say, is one of the weakest tasks this episode.
Well, there's one more VT task and the live task. We could be done in less than an hour.
Yeah.
VT task 4. Travel the furthest distance while making a constant noise with your mouth. You must start traveling in 30 seconds from now. Furthest wins. I've got a couple of notes. There at Rocco Health Club again, which I have been to. And I'm slightly surprised there wasn't a bonus point for best noise.
Oh, that's interesting. Was the train in the background Southwest trains? When they punch into this place, they have a train going by in the background. It was an orange one. Was that Southwest?
I didn't notice the train. I would make it an assumption that it would be.
Or am I like what lines go by the Rocco Health Club?
Southwest feels sort of like, or Thameslink?
No, it was red. It was like red and orange. Come on, man! You live in London.
I have not. Was it? I wasn't paying attention.
Hold on. Let me look. Let me look here. You keep going. You keep going.
So the contestants were going to sort of run in a square shape. Alex would follow them. I'm hoping that Alex would be relieved when a contestant makes a pause so that he doesn't have to run either. And Alex is wearing a suit, and running in a suit is not easy.
He leaves them multiple times.
I'm literally just going to write down what I wrote. Paul makes this continuous R noise, and he makes it 22 meters before stopping. Ian tried beatboxing, thinking it was a continuous noise, but actually it was just a series of noises. Alex proved this using waveforms, so he only travels 1 meter before a new noise is made. Joe makes like a howling noise as he sprints around the field, and he makes it to 98 meters. Lou makes an E noise, making it to 39.9 meters. And Sean made this high-pitched squealing noise, making it to 38.1 meters. So, Joe gets 5, Lou 4, Sean 3, Paul 2, Ian 1.
And I did look it up.
Literally nothing else to say.
This is the Rocco Health Club, as you said. The nearest station, which is like up the street, is Chiswick. So that is on Southwestern. So I'm right. I did get that. And actually, this is right by the tennis court. So they've probably done a tennis based task right near here. But not a whole lot else to say about that task. But there is a trio of adapted tasks.
Okay.
So, Basti Test Season 4, Episode 1, Taskmaster Portugal Season 1, Episode 7, and then Stormmaster Season 7, Episode 6. The only difference there is that the contestants can make as many attempts as they want, but only the last one counts. So, other than that, that's it. Continue onwards. Which, this is so, me, and this is a dumb task. This is a very strange one, as per usual.
I mean, they love the dumb tasks, live tasks in the show.
So this one actually also features, I don't think they've done anything like this, which is the physiological torture of shining a bright light in someone's face. So the task is, say a species of bird, eat a grape, and then shout a competitor's name within 5 seconds of hearing your own name. If you fail to say a different species of bird, pop a grape in your mouth and shout a competitor's name within 5 seconds of hearing your own name, you will be eliminated. You must not say any bird which has previously been said during the task. Last remaining player wins. This is very stupid. But it also is complicated by the fact they're all wearing sunglasses, and Greg is basically to make sure that everybody knows who is up on the spot. Greg has been given a spotlight that he is pointing in the face of whoever it is. But
and they all have to wear these dark as hell sunglasses, the sort of thing you wear when like an eclipse rolls around.
Yeah, they're wearing sunglasses. I think they're just normal sunglasses. Eclipse glasses are kind of darker, but so there's not a whole lot to mention other than Ian definitely made up a bird at one point and was not called out on it, but was called out for saying hen or saying chicken when somebody else had already said hen.
Yeah, that happened.
You know, that's a little interesting. But anyway, Ian was eliminated first. Then Sean, then Joe, then Lou. Paul wins, and then shit. I didn't even write down who won the episode, but this is Lou one of those won ones the episode. Where
Lou Saunders won
Lou
the episode.
Won the episode. I definitely didn't like get anything out of this. This one was just a weird task. Like I'm more astonished that they managed to find 5 celebrities who knew that many birds, because they were saying some weird bird names. Like, although then I mean, again, that just might be that.
I thought they tried going down the obscure. I thought they go down like the more like, because we didn't get a lot of like broad types of birds. Like we didn't get ostrich, we didn't get flamingo, we didn't get peacock, that sort of thing.
I almost want to say, without looking anything up, that this is what happens when you A, live in England, and B, have a high-end arts university education is that all of these people have been forced by, like, some Oxbridge-educated teacher to learn all the weird bird names. Like this just seems like something you just pick up from being in certain circles.
British people are surprisingly knowledgeable of birds, I think.
Yeah, like, America, we have a lot of birds. We know a lot of birds. None of our birds have, like, most of our birds don't have the dumb shit names that English birds do, too. Like, nobody's going to call anything a blue-footed booby. You know, we've got, like, the California vulture and the turkey buzzard and that sort of thing. No, wait. No, yeah, it is the, or like the gold, or the golden osprey. Those are all,
what?
Fuck,
why are we dwelling on this, Joe?
California condor, not California vulture. Because I always have to prove that America's better.
That's all.
So that's all from us. Just before we finish, this has many adapted tasks, is the complete a mental task, eat something, and nominate another contestant. There are 5 of these. Basti Test, Season 4, Episode 3. Then, Kangen Mafaller, Season 2, Episode 9. They're also eliminated. In that one, the contestants are also eliminated if they nominate a contestant who's already out. Then, Sir Mastari, which is Finnish Taskmaster, Season 2, Episode 3. Then Kangen Mafaller again, Season 4, Episode 5, except this time it's eat a chocolate, solve a times table equation, eat a chocolate, and then set a new times table sum for somebody else, which I would rather just die. But, and then finally, Taskmaster Portugal, which is doing it while also eating sour gummies. It with the bird one. So I guess you're after eating unpleasant food as well. So that's good. So yeah, there's 6 versions of this bullshit task.
Okay, Joe, I need to go blow my nose really badly. Can we wrap the episode up?
Yes, but also there's a mute button. So if you need to do that,
I'm not in reaching distance of any tissues.
Okay, yes, we are done. This is the oddest way to end an episode. Emerson, go blow your nose. I'll send you this later.
All right, thank you, mate. Bye, everyone. We'll see you next week. Bye.
Bye.